four of us.
Yeah.
Welcome to the suiting up and showing up meeting. My name is David. I'm a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps?
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Okay, the format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I'll share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is suiting up and showing up. Is there a timer? Can you do 5, 5, and 5, please? I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. All right. Hi, I'm David. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, David.
Just to qualify, I've been abstinent for 3 years and 2 months. My abstinence is no binging, no purging, no flour, no sugar, and I eat 3 meals a day with life in between. And that allows me to suit up and show up. And it was so funny. I was heading over here around 6 o'clock, and my car just, like, completely died right when I got on it, got in it. And, you know, I called AAA, and they came, and then they jump-started my car, and I came here. And something as simple as that, you know, they say, you know, normal people, when you get a flat tire or your car just dies, you know, they call AAA. But compulsive overeaters, we want to kill ourselves. And that's, you know, when shit like that used to happen to me, I literally wouldn't deal with the car. I'd just go eat and deal with the car at the end of the weekend. And I was just calling my sponsor on the way over here. I was like, it's a miracle that I'm able to suit up and show up even when I don't want to. And, you know, I never was able to suit up and show up when I was in my disease. And it's like nobody ever showed me how. I came from a very alcoholic, abusive household. You know, everyone in my family has this disease and alcoholism. And, you know, growing up, like, my dad was this 350-pound abusive alcoholic, and I remember he used to, like, throw me up against the wall and just, like, grab my chins, and I would, like, look across the hallway at my mom and just, like, scream for her and beg for her to help us, and she'd just, like, go into her meditation room and close the door. And, you know, at such a young age, I just turned to the food, and the food became my mom, and the food became my dad, and the food became my God. And, like, thank God for the food, because the food, like, helped me cope with life. And, you know, I used food. I was 60 pounds overweight as a kid. I was a fat kid in school. Everybody made fun of me. And that's just how I rolled, like, going through life. And by the time I got into college, 5 different colleges in 4 years, just always running. Could never be in a relationship for more than a week. Could never have a commitment, would always break them. You know, it starts with the food. You know, I'm powerless over food. By the time I came into OA, I was living in Manhattan and I was going through 20,000 calorie binges every single day. I was going from the Whole Foods on the Lower East Side to the one in Union Square to the one in Midtown to the one in the Upper West Side to the one in Harlem, just binging my way through and then just going down to my 24-hour gym at night. Just like exercising for 6 hours, and that was my life. I never showed up for school. I had no friends. My phone was off all the time, so my family never knew where I was. I had no hope. I had no job. I had no future. I had no God. I had no anything. And, you know, then I came into OA, and literally, before I was 21 years old, I tried killing myself before, you know. It was just like a complete mess. But the second part of step one, you know, that my life is unmanageable. That's like, my life is unmanageable because my thoughts are unmanageable. And I have a mind that just tells me lies and talks to me. Even today, it tells me lies. My first thought when my car died was like, fuck, I want to kill myself. Like, that's where my head goes, but I have a solution today. But I didn't have a solution when I was in the food. So I had a mind that told me that I was a piece of shit, that I wasn't good enough, that nobody wants to hang out with me, so I should just cancel on them, and that I should just go to the food. Every problem, I should just go to the food. And, you know, so I came into OA, and I got a sponsor, and we started working the steps. And my mind started getting rewired and started changing. And the more my thoughts changed, the more my life changed. But, you know, my third dimensional life got a lot better, but I still didn't know how to show up for life. I still was like a boy when I came into the rooms. So I got a sponsor, and he was like, you sit in the front row, you work the steps, you listen to what other people are saying, and you do service. And, you know, when I came into OA, I was so scared of people that I couldn't talk in meetings, I couldn't read anything. So I came and I'd set up chairs and I'd leave early. And that's what I did in the beginning. For like the first year, I would just come and set up chairs. And then, you know, then I became treasurer and then I became secretary and then I started speaking at meetings. And then, you know, the service that I did in OA translated outside the rooms. And, you know, I got into grad school and I was able to show up every single day. You know, when I never showed up for undergrad, I was failing out. Every single day I showed up for grad school, even when I didn't want to. I sat in the front row. I thanked the teacher after every single class. It's what we learn in OA. It teaches me how to suit up and show up. And I ended up, you know, literally, I was failing out of undergrad. I graduated from UCLA with a 4.0. If that's not God, I don't know what is. So I did service commitments in the rooms. And even today, like, I'm secretary of two meetings, you know, it's the serenity prayer. If I have a problem with OA or the world, you know, I have to see what can I change. There were no young people meetings in OA, in LA, and so I started a meeting, and I wrote a format, and I worked with World Service, and then, you know, now I'm secretary of that meeting, secretary of the kitchen sink meeting. I've always had service commitments. And I sponsor 8 guys, and it doesn't even matter if they're abstinent or not, because I'm abstinent. And I have this sponsor, the sponsee who's in rehab, and I've been calling my sponsor, and I'm just like, this guy's going to go home in 30 days when he's out of treatment, and he's probably not going to work OA anymore. And am I wasting my time? The guy doesn't even have a car. He's not allowed to make phone calls. So I'm driving to his rehab every single week. And I'm sitting with him for 2 hours, you know, every week, going over the steps and sitting with him and investing my time. And my sponsor's like, yeah, but you're abstinent. It doesn't matter about him. You know, and where my life is like today, you know, I work in a very competitive field. I work probably 12 to 14 hour days. And still I wake up at 5 a.m, I exercise, I go to meetings regularly, I keep service commitments, I show up at work early, I'm the last one out every single day, and I just show up. And, you know, I have sponsees who are like, there's not enough time to do all this. There is enough time. The more that I should put my program as the most important thing in my life without exception, the more there's time. I don't know how there's time. I sleep literally 3 hours a night. I don't know how I do that, but I wake up at 5. I make probably 15 outreach calls a day. I have 8 sponsees who call me every day. I call them back every single day. I show up for them. Because when I came into the rooms, I didn't have parents who showed up for me. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what consistency meant. I didn't know what love meant. I didn't know what, like, I'm there for you meant. So I had a sponsor who gave me that space. And, you know, if we were supposed to meet on a Wednesday, he was there every single time. And if I called him, he would call me back. And I do that same thing. I meet with my sponsees. I call them back. I call everybody who calls me back. And, you know, because I do that, my life is just like, it's like beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. And, you know, I'm dating this girl now. And when I came into OA, literally, I had never been in a relationship for more than a week. I had no sense of intimacy or masculinity or sexuality, like none of that. And one day at a time, I do what I learn in the rooms, which is I suit up and I show up and I express my feelings and I'm of service and I practice those principles in all my affairs. And, you know, it's just like amazing. And when I came into OA, I hadn't spoken to my dad in 10 years. I hated him. I literally fantasized about murdering my dad when I came into OA, and I had a sponsor who said, you know, you start praying for your dad, and I'd try praying for him. I was like, I can't pray for my dad. So you pray for the willingness to be willing to pray for your dad, and that's where I started. For a year, I literally prayed for the willingness to be willing, and then I started praying for my dad, and then I started praying for my dad and meaning it. And then, you know, I flew back to New York, maybe it was like a year and a half ago, and I went and I made amends to him. And it wasn't, Dad, I hate you because you beat me, because you did this or that. It was like, Dad, I love you because you're sick and you're a child of God too. And, you know, I was like, I cut you out of my life for 10 years. That's a pattern that I obviously do in all of my relationships in my life, and I don't want to do it anymore. That when somebody hurts me, I just say, off with your head, fuck you, I never want to talk to you again. So how can I make it up to you? And he said, well, I'd like to start having a relationship with you. And I said, okay, we can start with a phone relationship. And, you know, for the past year and a half, I've called him consistently every 10 days. And I start showing up for him in that relationship. And then, you know, last month I flew back to New York and I stayed with him for a weekend, which is like a complete, utter miracle in my eyes. This is a guy who was, like, there were restraining orders growing up. Like, I slept with a baseball bat under my bed until I was 14 years old. And, you know, I went and stayed with him by my choice. And he's still 350 pounds in his disease. And I didn't have a car when I was in New York. And he said, do you want to go to an OA meeting? And I said, sure. How much time do I have? Okay, I said, sure. And we go to this OA meeting in New York. And it's this huge meeting. And he raises his hand. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, what is this guy going to say? He doesn't know the etiquette, blah, blah, blah. And he shares and he breaks down crying about how he's been in denial his whole life about the food and how he needs OA. And he, like, went home with a newcomer packet. And that night, I, like, saw him reading it on the couch. And my sister is also, my sister Eskimo'd me. And she's been in and out of OA for 10 years. She's now obese. And I went and stayed with her for a day in the city, and we ended up going to a meeting together, and then she ended up, like, getting a sponsor, and she called me when I flew back to L.A., and she was like, your presence alone, something about your presence made me want to go back to OA, and my dad said, like, it was a very similar thing, and, you know, that's the power of suiting up and showing up. I don't know how I'm helping people, but just by showing up every single day, something changes. Just by showing up at my work every single day, something changes. Because that's more than most people can do. And I just owe my whole freaking life to OA. I literally, this program has given me a life that's beyond my wildest dreams. And that's why I'm dedicated, of dedicated service to this program, of dedicated service. Because it's helped me learn how to live. So I guess I'm going to wrap it up there. I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. Thank you. All right, the meeting's now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on keeping on. What's this topic again? Suiting up and showing up. Man. Okay, who would like to share?
Hi, I think you have to
sooner. Same order with the last
time. I think you have to sign.
Yeah.
If you can help me with rotations.
This is 8, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's like only 5. All right, cool. Hi, I'm Jolene, compulsive overeater and body obsessor.
Hi, Jolene.
Thanks, David. So great to hear you. I'm like, I guess I'll just share because I'm going to have to share anyway. Anyway. Suiting up and showing up. Ugh, I like hate that slogan. Not because it's not great and it's true, it changes your life, but it just goes against everything in me. Like my go-to is like, look like a slob, get there late. And what do I want to say? I mean, well, I kind of got trained in another 12-step program in terms of suiting up and showing up, and it's completely changed my life that that I can take commitments and show up for them. And a sponsor once said to me, if you want to build, because I called her, I was really insecure. I was in graduate school and everything just was affecting me. I thought everyone was just, I was in graduate school basically for everyone to judge me. And that's all they were doing. And they all were hating me. And every interaction I had, I just would go home and just go crazy about like, I'm never going to succeed in this. They all hate me. And I was like, can you just tell me how to get some self-esteem? And she's like, what should I do? Is it a writing assignment? Like, what is it? And she's like, you build self-esteem through esteemable acts. And that is showing up to meetings, taking commitments, and suiting up and showing up, basically. And I was like, ugh, I hate that. And, like, that's going to take forever. You know, like, that didn't give me an answer of how long that was going to take then for me to then have self-esteem. But the thing is, I now can walk in a room of people and not think they all just hate me automatically. And I don't leave that room analyzing every single interaction that I just had. That doesn't mean I still do. Like I just shared in the last meeting that I shared in one of my OA meetings and I left there feeling like that there were certain people that didn't like my share. I completely made that up. No one told me that. That's just me because I think this is how they think and this is what they think about me. And I know that's just a signal that something's not, that I'm not probably praying on my knees regularly enough. But suiting up and showing up for me too really includes like wearing clothes that fit, buying clothes that, that last longer, like trying to look a little bit better. And I've found that like when I do try and make the effort to look a little bit better, I do feel better. And I'm saying this right now, I'll wrap up, I'm saying this right now with so much reluctance because I'm in that space right now where I really don't want to do that. I really want to wear really big clothes. I'm so mad that it's so hot because I want to be wearing a winter coat really bad right now. And that's just what happens with me in January and, you know, whatever, I'm still here. So thank you so much. I love hearing you. And okay, thanks.
Hi, I'm Sophia, compulsive reader, recovering bulimic. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for your share. I remember seeing David in the rooms when you first came in, and everything that he says is true. It's absolutely true. And then I kind of didn't see him for a while, and then I saw him again, and it was like, boom, this like powerhouse. You know what I mean? Of like, what? Like, this program really works. I'm slow to warm up to things. I'm a late bloomer, you know? Like, but I feel like, you know, hearing about suiting up and showing up and having 8 sponsees and working out and showing up at your job first and last, you know, leaving last and doing all those sort of things, it's almost like it seems like impossible and unreal. And it seems like, you know, one thing that I've realized in this program, and I've joined another program that kind of touches on this, but time and how greedy I am with my time and how I don't like to give my time. But the more I recover, the more willing I am to give over my time and the bigger my life gets. And it seems kind of like contrary. Like, why would me showing up and doing things, being there for others and not just spending all my time doing everything that I want, make my life bigger? It seems like I would have less time, but the answer is like, how do you sleep 3 hours a night and do all that stuff? It's supernatural. It's a higher power, you know? I grew up in a religion, and I remember once one of my pastors, somebody said in a previous meeting, you know, be quick to see where religious people are right. And this pastor was right in the sense of prayer. And he would always encourage us as a congregation to pray. And he always guaranteed us that for every minute that we prayed, we would have somehow even more time in the day. The more time we spent with God, somehow the days got longer, you know? And I was always like, yeah, right. You know, that's like, whatever. But it's so true, and I see that in this program. And so that is one thing that I'm really grateful for in my program, is that I am more willing to be presentable, to have self-care. So instead of, like, not going out because my skin's bad, I put my money into buying things for my skin and taking time to do good things for my skin and buying nice products for myself. Self-care, so that I can show up in the world. And so if I feel good and if I look good, I look best when I'm wearing God, of course, you know. But, you know, if I take care of myself, that shows that I'm with God, and then people want what I have. You know, I'm a walking example of that, and of God in this program. And so suiting up and showing up, sometimes I marvel at when I'm working, and then I actually, like, after work, when I'm, like, exhausted, go to Venice and, like, to a friend's book launch. And I'm like, I don't want to meet these people. I don't want to go to Venice. I don't want to go to this store and, like, be around all this food and, like, care about somebody's book. But I do that, and it is more amazing than I could have ever imagined. Because I did that, and because I had the, as Herb Cade says in his 12-step workshop, and I'll wrap up, is the inclination is the invitation. So it's like, in being in this program and with my recovery, the more I'm inclined by God and the more I obey that, the bigger my life gets. So, yeah, thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Compulsive overeater, of course. Oh, thank you so much. Wow. Just wow. You are a really, wow. That's a great share. Great share. I always love hearing new people that I haven't met before, and I just love being blown away, and that really blew me away. And I have to say, I bet your dad is really proud of you. Really. So what did OA teach me about suiting up and showing up, you know? I don't have a great relationship with my mom, who isn't an alcoholic. And you really planted the fact that it would probably be a good idea to repair that relationship before she passes away, because she's, you know, she's probably not going to die for 20 years, but she is 77. But the women on her side of the family live forever, good, bad, and ugly. Suiting up and showing up. First of all, I wasn't able to suit up and show up until I got abstinent. Unfortunately for me, I got abstinent immediately because I had thought long and hard before I finally came into the room, so I was ready. And once I became abstinent, and you guys would be very surprised, my abstinence now is even tighter than it was 6 years ago. Actually, I'm now to the point where I eat vegetables, protein, and fresh fruit only. No, nothing else, because it keeps my mind and my body really clean and clear, and that's what I needed. And so because I grew up in this alcoholic home, I did not know how to be a parent. And I've actually never told my boys this. I have three boys, but I think that they get it. And once I came to these rooms, into another set of rooms, I learned how to be a parent. And so I have great relationships with my three boys, who are now 20, 18, and almost 16, beyond my wildest dreams. My 18-year-old comes home from college. He's in New York. And the first night he gets home, he jumps into bed with me. He's 6'11", you guys, so it's hysterical, right? So this child jumps into bed with mom, and goes through his phone, shows me all his pictures, all his friends. He talks about what's going on in school. He would call me throughout the semester, and he'd say things like, my lab partner's driving me crazy, and na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And guess what I've learned in these rooms? I'd say, hey, babe, are you asking for my opinion, or are you calling to dump? I'm just calling to dump. I go, great. Have you eaten anything lately? No, I'm starving. Hey, maybe go eat tonight? He's like, great idea. You know, one night he said, you're eating dinner with me. We're in the dorm eating together. You know, like, I didn't have that with my mom. No way. And so for me to be able to suit up and show up, I was able to suit up and show up with my husband and my marriage and sexually. You know, I used to hide in the back of the kitchen and eat because I thought, well, he actually didn't know in hindsight that that's what I was doing. But I'd be so sick I couldn't have sex with him because I was too full. But I can do all these things now. And I just talked about my family for suiting up and showing up. But for me, it's the most important relationships in my life. So, thanks.
Hi, I'm Danny, a compulsive overeater, sugar addict. Oh, I got so much out of this, too. I realize I struggle in this, and it's just so hard. I'm sorry if I ramble, but, you know, what I have taken away from this program has been amazing growth, and it starts with focusing on what I can control. I used to want to be a fixer. I was a fixer for everybody else. But I couldn't fix myself because I just didn't put the energy into it the way I did when seeing other people's faults and trying to fix them. Another thing I took away was, you know, just trying to do things that I don't like to do. You know, things are uncomfortable. But for me, that has been the biggest growth, is living through the things that are uncomfortable. I was the biggest pain avoider, the biggest comfort person out there, and I just didn't want to deal with anything that was nitty and gritty and dirty, but doing so has been great. It's just opened up this other part of myself that has been able to help me, you know, just grow in ways that I couldn't imagine. And trust me, you know, we all know that change is so hard, and to be where I am, you know, in life is one thing. I'm still struggling with the food, but I'm working on it. You know, and I think I'm good, too, at giving over control of the bigger things in life. You know, like lately, it's like, you know, am I going to get married? And things with my boyfriend have been really good. And we start talking about it, and I realize I start obsessing, and I start looking at wedding magazines and looking at venues, and he hasn't even asked yet. So it's like, stop. And it's like, I can turn that over. So I did. But then it's like, can I turn over what I'm going to have for dinner or what I'm going to have for breakfast? You know, I've still got to work on that with the smaller things. I've let over control with some of my job, and things are going so much better than they were when I was trying to control all the little things. I live in this world, too, where my disease still takes over, and it says, oh, you need to be flexible. You need to be flexible. So when I make a commitment, sometimes it's like, well, I'm flexible. I can break that. And I don't want to be like that. For me, that's not living a life of integrity. And wow, 15 calls a day. Like, I have a hard time just with one. And returning calls, too. I've become so lax about it. And so I want to make that commitment to at least return the calls that I get and hopefully, you know, work on the 1 to 3 a day and maybe work up to 15 sometime. I'm not sure. But it's so helpful, and I've had calls, and the greatest calls have been so great for me, and I realize that I can make that service of others. One time I was, I'll try to wrap up quickly, but my first week of no sugar, I ended up in the candy aisle at Halloween with some friends, and right at that moment somebody called me. And I was like, oh, thank you. I was trying to walk away to the, you know, and here I am looking at pantyhose, and it's like, I don't care about pantyhose. I don't need pantyhose. But thank you so much for calling me, because it got me out of the chocolate aisle. Just the last thing I want to say, too, and I've always been uber responsible in life. You know, I took on all the burdens of the world for other people. But when it came to myself, I did myself such a disservice by not taking the responsibility for caring for myself. So thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'd like to share anonymously, but I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you to everyone who shares. I'm sorry I came in late, but this podium is really scary. Props for sharing. I guess this isn't one of the snappy phrases that I've taken to naturally, but I really have been able to see just in small things in my life where I used to be really, just hold myself to really impossibly high standards of suiting up and showing up, and now one of the things that I've learned being in program is that I can suit up and show up without having to lose something of myself, but rather by enhancing my recovery, if that makes sense. I'm just really grateful to be here, and thank you to everyone.
All right, we could do a group conscience to end the meeting early. Yeah. So, okay. All right. It is now time to close the session. I would like to thank all of you who gave service at the session and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join as we close with the Serenity Prayer.